Greg the GM on ESPN 102.5, the game online at thegamenashville.com. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jarrett Stillman. Floyd, Kevin Fiala on Instagram has posted a picture of himself on the ice, and it says, quote, "What a great feeling to be back on the ice again." So it looks like he's recovering well from that broken leg suffered against St. Louis.
Nice to have him on the ice.
I think, especially with James Neal out. Predator fans would be happy to see that. Yesterday, though, was not a total loss for the Predators, as at the NHL Awards, which, by the way, remember how you said you weren't going to watch the expansion draft because of the award show?
Right.
I gave it 12 minutes.
You made an attempt.
I tried. Yeah. And then I put it on the Braves game, and they were in a rain delay, and there was a documentary on John Smoltz. And that was infinitely more interesting than the NHL Awards, which the NHL should be ashamed of themselves with how terrible that award show was and the fact that they made us watch it in order to learn the expansion draft. But one big key in that award show was the GM of the year, and that happened to be David Poile, which, for the record, I just want to say now that GMs that come on a weekly basis on Jared and the GM are now one for one in terms of winning GM of the year. So maybe John Robinson
need to keep that in mind.
Want to come on every week during the football season. But first and foremost, congratulations to David, because he certainly deserves it. And I couldn't be happier for I sent the tweet out yesterday. He is as classy in defeat as he is in victory, and I don't want to overlook how important that is. But as I'm watching David Poile win this award last night, I'm thinking to myself, is this award about David Poile? Or is this about everybody around David Poile, I don't want to say finally getting their act together, but ownership now completely has its act together. Ownership is all in, one of the best ownerships in sports. The business side of it, the fans, the team, it's like everybody's all starting to finally, you know, they've really put this in place for the last 7 or so years, and now they've built something special and they're winning on the ice because of it. Because I don't think David Poile was a bad GM last year or not the best GM a couple years ago. He's always been a good GM, but now he wins the award. And to me, I think it speaks to everybody else around him raising their level, bringing in the Sean Henrys, bringing in the Tom Sigurins, and that's why David Poile won the award and the Preds are where they are.
Well, the truth is that they have really started to maneuver and make moves and come through with the big trades, the big events about the last 3 or 4 years. And we had Tom Sigurin on the show, and he came out and said, you know, it took them that long to get to a point where they really felt good about the finances and the maturity of the club and all those kinds of things, that, you know, he could give David all the money he needed to develop the team. And I think David has done that. I think he's used his money wisely. I think he's developed a great team. And so I think, you know, from that standpoint, yeah, I mean, Tom probably deserves as much credit as David. If you were asked David, of course, he would talk about everybody on the team, everybody in management, ownership, et cetera, but himself.
Well, and that's funny because when he won the award yesterday, that's where he started.
For me, and I think all the managers know, this is an organizational award, and it starts with our owners. Tom and Herb have done giving me all the resources I need to be successful. Our building is full every night. That's Sean Henry. They're so creative, gives us a home ice advantage that no other team has. And the hockey ops, Paul Fenton, my son Brian Poile, are the best. They do all the evaluations and contracts. On the hockey side, Pierre Laviolette is the best coach in the National Hockey League, and our scouts are doing a fantastic job. Our equipment managers, our medical guys, it takes a whole staff. And, of course, the players, they get it together and win on a nightly basis.
I mean, is that not exactly the way David
started at the top, went right down to the trainers. So, I mean, he hit them all. I mean, which doesn't shock me at all. I mean, that's the way David is. But the truth is, when it comes to the final decision, when it comes to the final pulling of the lever or not on these trades and some of these cuts and things, I mean, that boils down to David.
Well, and I go over it too. Since Tom Sigurin has been chairman of the Predators, think about all the moves that they've been able to make that they weren't before. Pecorine signed to an extension. Shea Weber signed to a massive extension. Pierre Laviolette hired as coach. who's to say that the Predators, as an organization, before Tom Seguin came in and said, we're going to make this work, who's to say that they would have been okay with letting go of Barry Trotz and moving the, because they felt the game was moving in this direction, going to Peter Laviolette. Then there was the trade for James Neal. Then there was a trade for Ryan Johansson. People forget, Ryan Johansson made $6 million last year. You took on a salary when you traded Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson. So David makes that move. Then, of course, the PK Subban trade, etc. I mean, these are some really bold moves, but they're enabled by what Tom Seguin and this group are giving them. And I think that that is a huge key, too, because, as you said, it felt like, or was it $4 million? $4 million for Johansson, but it seems to me like where I'm sitting, where I'm looking right now is Tom Seguin is putting it in place because they're getting the money and they're telling David, you can now do what every other GM in the league can do. And because David is one of the best, if not the best GM in the NHL, now it's starting to show.
Well, you can't, it's hard enough to put together a winning team in any sport if you have all the resources available. I mean, just making the correct decisions across the board is tough to do. Now, to have to do that with one hand tied behind your back, I mean, it's near impossible. So I think David has, you know, kind of worked through all those times. I mean, he's been through with an expansion club. I mean, I'm sure when you start off, there are times now where it's hard. I mean, you're not selling the tickets, all the tickets you want. You know, you're not on TV all the time. You're not making the extra money that a team like they are now will make. Mm-hmm. And so David plays, you know, he had to play a little bit with one hand tied behind him, but never complained about it, just kept on trucking, kept on working, and then it got to a point where I think all restrictions were off, and they said, okay, David, here you go. You go ahead and play like the rest of these guys, and I think since then, you know, the Preds have skyrocketed.
Plus, I feel like David Poile won GM of this year with moves that he didn't make this year. Like the trade for Philip Forsberg, that was a move that was made 4 years ago, but that obviously played huge dividends this year. The move for Ryan Johansson, that was a move that was made last year that played huge dividends this year. Hiring Peter Laviolette, that was a move that was made 3 years ago. So, like, I know that sounds kind of kooky or whatever, but David wins the award when it's years after the moves that he made that helped them win this award. And that, I think, is also another thing. I mean, I without a doubt, and by the way, if you look at the voting, it was not even close. David Poile ran away with that award, and he should. But, I mean, my thing is this award's not about David Poile, because I already knew David was a great GM. I knew David was one of the best, if not the best GMs in the NHL. But now, like you said, he doesn't have that hand tied behind his back. And David even brought it up, you know, when he compared where they are now with where they were when he started as GM of the Predators.
But when you go back, the fact that I've been there almost 20 years and, you know, the franchise, there was a lot of doubters, and there was the situation with Jim Bosile and possibly moving to Hamilton. And with our own ownership structure, we've had three sets of owners. So there has been clearly lots of ups and downs. But in the last 7 years, in my mind, you've had a steady increase of our franchise just going up and up, both on and off the ice. And, you know, the pride comes, and again, probably one of the reasons why I'm standing here is that the franchise is really looking good both on and off the ice, and it's really a good, solid franchise right now. And you couldn't say that, you know, 5 years ago.
How important is all that, what David just said?
He's exactly right. I mean, that's just what we said. You know, I think he's, since Tom and that ownership group has been there, and they've gotten him on stable footing, and they were able to give him the resources he needed across the board to not only, you know, hire a new coach, but to make the trades and pay the good players the money that you had to, even though it gets expensive. And I think that, you know, David has shown that it was right for them to trust David. I mean, that's, Tom has told us before that he thinks David is the best GM in the NHL. And it's hard to argue with that right now. But I think just that attitude, you know, only gives David the confidence to do what he thinks is right. And he's been able to do that. And I think a lot of these wins, a lot of the real, real positive things that have gone on with the Preds is a result of all that.
See, I don't want it to sound ugly when I say this the way that I do, because like I said, I think David is a great general manager and maybe the best in the sport. But this award, in my mind, is about everybody else finally raising, you know, the other positions, the team president position, the team owner position, the coach finally being at a point where they are as good as David is. I think the ownership wins this award. And, you know, all the people that David kind of thanked in that award, you know, saying this is an organizational award, I agree with. And to me, the organization wins the award. The ownership should be proud of this award. Sean Henry should be proud of this award. Not just proud for David, but proud of themselves for what they've done that contributed to David Poile being named GM of the Year. I still think he's one of the best GMs in the NHL, but when he wasn't winning GM of the Year, when the Predators weren't making the playoffs, it wasn't like I thought he was a bad GM. So I just think that now they've gotten everything to kind of rise to the level that he is capable of as a GM, and it makes it easier for him to do his job. So we'll take your calls. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. The Nashville Predators, by the way, are hosting a fan appreciation draft party tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena from 4 to 10. Wear gold and bring friends to Smashville to take part in a Western Conference champion celebration while watching the Preds make the 30th overall selection in the 2017 NHL entry draft. You can write cards and record thank you messages for Preds players and coaches, take part in the public skate, tour the Preds locker room, and more details can be found at thegamenashville.com under the events tab. We will be live out at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow from that event from 2 to 6. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I've been waiting a long time to thank my wife of over 45 years for this journey. There are a lot of ups and downs in this job that we all have, both the players, coaches, and the managers. And Elizabeth has been with me all the way. It's been an unbelievable ride, a little bit of a roller coaster, but you've been there every day.
That was David Poile, GM of the Year, accepting the award yesterday. And Floyd, you heard that where he's talking about his wife. Truly, he's got to be one of the most classy guys that we probably come in contact to or contact with. And because of that, like, I was kind of happy for David yesterday. Generally speaking, I don't care about the NHL awards, and I said yesterday if he lost, I wasn't going to cry about it. But I'm happy that he won because he's a classy guy.
I would agree. I mean, I think he's a sheer delight and really good at what he's done, and he's done it for a long time. And, I mean, a real unique story. I mean, he's a second generation. He's got a son that's going to be a third generation GM in the NHL. So, I mean, he's lived a unique life. This has been the
first year, though, that it feels like he's ever been recognized in that sense. Like, I think David Poile does a good job, but even remember before the Chicago series when we had people that were calling and tweeting and saying things like, "You guys better get on Poile when they get beat by Chicago." And we did a show. I remember we opened a show before the Chicago series saying, look, David Poile, even if they lose to Chicago, David Poile is not the issue here. So even then, he's kind of had his detractors, and this kind of felt like the first year where David Poile was getting truly recognized for being a really good general manager.
Well, I mean, he should have gotten recognized if he hasn't. And that's what's hard. You know, you're in a business where the only thing that matters is the bottom line. You know, is it a W or an L? That's all that matters. All the rest of it is window dressing. And if you're in a position like he's been for a number of years where it's hard to get a bunch of those W's, I mean, at a point in time, people start, you know, you're associated with it, so you're just like it. And in fact, all he needed was a chance to get his head above water and, you know, do his job, which he's done and has been excellent at it.
Okay, so the schedule came out today for the Predators for next year. And I'm looking, you know, they don't have the TV schedule out yet. They only have the actual schedule. But I was looking during the break at the actual schedule, and I was looking primarily at weekends because that's when they put a lot of these games on NBC or NBC Sports Network. Now, last year, the Chicago Blackhawks led the league with 21 nationally televised games. The Predators, by the way, had one. So the Chicago Blackhawks had 21 last year. The Western Conference champion, San Jose Sharks, had 11. The mid-markets, the mid-market teams, the Blues, the Wild, etc., they had 12 games. So, you know, the teams that have the most games are Boston, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, New York, etc. So I'm looking at their schedule. I'm seeing a lot of possibilities for nationally televised games. Just looking at the first month, at Pittsburgh on a Saturday night, the first Saturday night of the year. That feels like that would be a national TV game, right?
I would think.
At Pittsburgh on a Saturday? That's got to be a national TV game night. Yeah. I mean, at Chicago the next Saturday, that feels like that would be a national TV night. At New York the next Saturday for a noon start. So three Saturdays in a row, Pittsburgh, Chicago, New York. Remember last year, they played at New York during the week. They played at Pittsburgh during the week. Now those games are on the weekends. Then you go into the next month, at L.A. on the weekend, at home versus Pittsburgh on the weekend. That's a Saturday night versus Pittsburgh, November 11th. That's got to be a national TV game, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think all those weekend games have potential to be a nationally televised game.
Now, remember that Wednesday night, the Predators don't usually play on Wednesday night. Right. They usually don't play at home. And most of the time when they play on Wednesday night, it's because of national television. Because I think Wednesday night is when NBC Sports Network has their Wednesday night rivals. Montreal at home. You think that's a nationally televised game? Shea Weber,
PK. I would imagine.
So now we're at least probably five national TV games. That's the first month of the year. As you go later in the season, St. Louis on a Wednesday night. That feels like that could be that Wednesday night rivalry that NBC Sports Network likes. They play once again at LA on a weekend. Then, of course, the month of February, Saturday games, New York, Montreal. And then later a Sunday against St. Louis. To me, at Montreal on the weekend, 6 o'clock start, that's hockey night in Canada. PK at Montreal, that game is a national TV game. New York on a Saturday at home, February 3rd, that sounds to me like a national TV game. So just from looking at it, I think the Predators are going to have at least 10, maybe anywhere from 10 to 12 to 13 national TV games next year. And the schedule is setting it up because if you look at the Thursday and Tuesday games, it's Ottawa, Calgary, San Jose, Detroit. You know, it's like teams that don't usually get put on national TV. Now, Detroit is a national TV team that they usually put on there, but you're also playing them on a Saturday too, so that could be a national TV game. Mm-hmm. I think the Predators are going to have a lot of national TV games, and I think that that is a big deal. That is going to be exciting for the team to be on national TV on a consistent basis. I'm excited about it. I think that you look at the schedule, and they're not doing it to help the Predators sell tickets because Predators sold out every game last year, so they don't need help selling tickets. But they're doing it because the Predators drew a very strong TV number last year.
Right. I think they, you know, they've probably earned a bunch of those games.
I mean, those two New Yorks on a Saturday, that has to be national TV. Why would you play New York on a Saturday if it wasn't a national TV game?
I have no clue.
I mean, they got to put that new. You're at New York. Once again, the first three Saturdays of the season for the Predators. And once again, I don't know exactly, you know, what the contract for NBC and the NHL is and, you know, what games NHL Network's going to pick up. But the first three Saturdays at Pittsburgh, at Chicago, at New York. That sounds like two NBC Sports Networks and an NBC worked in there. Does NBC carry games in November and October?
Normal NBC channel?
Yes.
On the weekends?
Yes.
I don't know about that one. I don't think so with the NFL still rolling and stuff.
See, that's where I believe that, you know, because it's Saturday for NBC, they could work hockey around Notre Dame. Because Saturday is when they have Notre Dame. So these are all night games, except for the Rangers game on Saturday, November 21st. So I wonder if Notre Dame is playing a night game, so you play the Predators in New York at noon, and then you play Notre Dame versus whomever at 7 o'clock.
They're going to have to compete against college football on Saturdays at any point.
Yeah, but NBC only has Notre Dame. Like NBC doesn't have a conference. Like CBS has right. the SEC. So they can pick any SEC game every week. Fox has the Big Ten and I want to say the Pac-12, and Fox has those games. Well, the only college football that NBC has is Notre Dame. So they have to be beholden to Notre Dame's schedule. So if there's a Saturday in October where the Predators are playing at New York at noon and Notre Dame plays that same game at 7, then NBC can run both games, if that makes any sense to you. Let's see, November 21st. Yeah, so the Predators would play at noon. NBC has USC and Notre Dame at 7:30 that night. I say put the Predators on as the lead-in to Notre Dame. What do you think?
Super.
That would be a long way for the franchise to come if they get a national TV game at noon on a Saturday. Because what happens is that game is going to start at noon, and then it'll be over at 3, and then NBC will have either another game or they'll do something. Then they'll get it to the local news, and then the local news will kick it out to the Notre Dame game. So if that is that case...
So we got the TV programming for South Bend, Indiana. And what day was that?
Well, it's not the programming in South Bend. It's not like Notre Dame is only carried on the NBC affiliate in South Bend. Okay. Notre Dame is carried on every NBC affiliate.
All right.
You're acting like they're not.
I have no clue.
You're acting like, oh, yeah, it's only in South Bend, Indiana. Okay, Jared. Like NBC, NBC wouldn't show Notre Dame everywhere. They show Notre Dame every week. That's the only contract they have.
I could care. I mean, I don't think more power to them, more power to Notre Dame. That's great. I think that's all wonderful. I think that's good.
I'm just saying, if the Predators were the lead into Notre Dame, that'd be pretty cool. But Ryan just texted me and said that NBC does not do national games until Black Friday in the Winter Classic. So let's take a look at Black Friday, see if that could be a Predators game. Black Friday is at St. Louis at 7 o'clock. Could that be a national TV game? At St. Louis? Rematch of the playoffs? No.
Let me check my iPhone here. Hold on one second.
How are you going to check your iPhone?
Well, I don't know. It seems like something I should be doing.
Why?
I don't know. We're forecasting here.
Got to check that calendar, man.
Yeah, I got to look at the calendar and see what else is going on.
Well, I just, let's see what Notre Dame's doing on Black Friday. Oh, yeah, they're not playing because it's Friday. So there's no other sports NBC has that would be on Friday. So perhaps that game against St. Louis could be an NBC game. Obviously, the Predators are not in the Winter Classic. But I'm just telling you, I think New York, that should be a national TV game. Those first three weekends, that looks like national TV to me, baby. At Pittsburgh, at Chicago, at New York, three Saturdays in a row. That looks like national TV, national TV, national TV.
All right.
So good.
I think it'd be good, sure.
We get more Pierre
I'm
McGuire.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. Get more Mike Milbury.
Be exciting.
Oh, Mike Milbury's breaking down the Preds early in the season. Oh, that'd be great. Okay, coming up next. Here on Jared and the GM, which, of course, we're live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. Coming up next, I have a new favorite NBA team, and I am rooting for them in the draft tonight. I am so excited, and I want Floyd's take on it, too, because it's actually closer to Floyd's heart than I think many believe. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, don't forget to sign up for our Michelob Ultra Foursome Golf Contest. Michelob Ultra, Mavco, and The Game Nashville are giving one lucky winner and three friends a chance to experience the Ultra Foursome at four prestigious golf courses in Middle Tennessee, as well as passes to the Nashville Golf Open. To sign up, visit thegamenashville.com/Michelob Ultra Foursome today. Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5. The Game. Welcome back to the show. The NBA draft is tonight. Floyd, get excited. And you know this show just, we talk so much NBA on the show. That,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just so exciting. But I've got a new favorite team.
Okay.
So my favorite team in the NBA had been the Spurs for forever because Matt Bonner was on the Spurs, and he's a really close friend. So I was rooting for Matt, so I root for the Spurs. Well, Matt's retired, and now he's out of it, and the Spurs, you know, it's just, I just don't care about the Spurs anymore, which means I need a new team. So I found my new team. You ready for my new team?
Okay.
Whatever team drafts Lonzo Ball tonight, I am becoming a fan of. Because my team is LeVar and Lonzo Ball. My team is Big Baller Brand. And he's gonna go number 2 overall to the Lakers. And you watch, he is going to be the next great Laker. So it'll be Jerry West, then Kareem, then Magic, then Shaq, then Kobe. Lonzo is the next great Laker. And I believe in Lonzo, and I believe in LeVar, and I believe in the Big Baller brand. So I am rooting for them, and I am rooting for the Lakers to pick them and then sign LeBron next year and go on and win championships with that BBB. Now here's my question to you.
Okay.
You went to college where?
UCLA.
And you love?
UCLA.
And Lonzo Ball goes to?
UCLA.
And LeVar's sending his other kids to?
Are they all going to UCLA?
Yes.
Ah, good.
And so you, in my mind, have to also become a Lonzo Ball and LeVar Ball fan. Are you rooting as hard for Lonzo and LeVar Ball as I am rooting for them tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for rooting for Lonzo. I'm not sure about LeVar. Now.
What's your beef with LeVar?
I'm not sure I have a beef. I just I don't feel the need to root for him.
Why?
I think he'll probably root for himself enough already. They're going to do well. I'll tell you, the part that's really intriguing about this thing is that, of course, you know, here's a UCLA kid going to play for the Lakers, which is, you know, literally a drive a few blocks. You know, you have all this talk about LeBron and all these different guys.
Paul George.
They're going to L.A. and they're trying to decide if they want to go to the Lakers or the Clippers or what they want to do. But imagine if all those guys all decided to go to the Lakers. And I'm going to guess with Johnson running the thing now, that's got to be some kind of a lure to these guys. You know, just knowing that this great basketball player is running things. So
gotta be better than playing for Phil Jackson.
Yeah, obviously got to know, you know, about what it's going to take to put together a team and, you know, what a guy needs to be paid and all the right things. So, I don't know. Be interesting.
I'm rooting. I am rooting for Lonzo, and I'm rooting for LeVar. And here's the thing that I really believe Lonzo Ball is going to be a great player, and here's why. Because LeVar is the obnoxious, crazy, off-the-wall, you know, kooky one. But Lonzo is so not like that. I mean, I almost think Lonzo gets points for being normal when his dad is so next-level crazy. And Stephen A. Smith was talking this morning on ESPN about where NBA people believe Lonzo Ball is going to be successful.
When you talk to NBA scouts, which I have, and you talk to NBA personnel, which I have, you know what they say about Lonzo Ball? Stephen A., Jason Kidd. Came into the league, couldn't shoot worth a lick, but retired, one of the elite three-point shooters, et cetera, et cetera.
Jason Kidd, no J.
Right. Yep. You know what they say? That's right. So what happens? Why Lonzo? Push the ball up the floor, tremendous vision, great passer. Even though he doesn't have the girth, he does have the height. And all they talked about, however, which is why they've been saying for months, there's no way Magic is going to pass on them. Because even before he announced that he was entering the NBA draft, everybody was talking about Lonzo Ball at UCLA because of his leadership.
Leadership. Lonzo Ball's got it, and I'm rooting for them. But you know why I'm really rooting for him? Because of LeVar. Because I'm a believer in Big Baller Brand. I like it. I want to own my own company so I can go make billions of dollars. Well, if Lonzo is the next great Laker, everybody now, all the Joe Rexroads of the world that are haters on LeVar Ball, all those people will be sitting there and their kids will, Daddy, can we buy the new Lonzo 3s? And that shoe company will be worth $1 billion. So I'm all in on LeVar. I'm all in on Lonzo. And it's not LeVar's fault that they keep putting him on TV for saying all the crazy stuff he says. They just keep putting him on TV. In fact, he was asked by Jeff Goodman. Apparently, he and Jeff Goodman at ESPN walked the streets of New York the other day. And LeVar was asked if he's taking away from Lonzo.
You would all worry that you take some of the focus away from Lonzo. I don't take any of the focus away from Lonzo on the fact that I'm not playing. Some people like athletics. Some people like comedy, a little action.
You get a lot of
Everybody get difference, man.
I'm with you, LeVar. I'm rooting for him. I think you should root for him too, Floyd. I think they need to be, hopefully it's the Lakers tonight, but I think they need to be the official team of Jared and the GM.
I don't think there's much of a doubt that he's going to the Lakers. Is there controversy over that?
Well, there was some talk that they were going to work out some other prospects and talk to some other prospects. And
I don't know. I feel kind of confident in the fact that he's going to go there.
And then can we refer to the Lakers as we on the show?
No, I mean, I can because I'm a Bruin. So naturally we have the kinship.
No, you don't.
Sure, UCLA blood flows through us all.
Can I say we with the Lakers?
No.
Why not?
Because you're at Louisville.
You know what our team is?
What?
Big baller brand, BBB. I'm a huge LeVar Ball supporter. I actually think most of the fans in this country like LeVar Ball, but the media hates LeVar Ball.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Why, you think the fans hate LeVar Ball?
I think he's got to be close. I wouldn't say hate. I think hate's a strong word, but, you know, would you want to sit down and have a beer with him? Probably not.
You wouldn't want to have a beer with LeVar Ball?
I don't think so.
Oh, no. I would love to hang out with LeVar Ball.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to hang with him much.
Okay, so here's what we'll do. We'll take your cards. Are you rooting for or against LeVar and Lonzo Ball? Jared and the GM are rooting very much for LeVar and Lonzo to be successful. We are all in. In fact, whatever team Lonzo gets taken by will be my favorite team. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Unless it's Memphis, and then I'm not supporting.
Oh, why?
Why?
In your own state?
You know why I don't root for Memphis?
No.
Because they would never root for us.
Well, yeah, but we're bigger than they are.
They hate us.
I don't care.
They can go root for themselves. Wyatt is up next on Jared and the GM on LeVar and Lonzo Ball. What's up, Wyatt?
All right. First of all, people are hating on LeVar like he's some random guy. The man, in fact, and this is 100% a fact, averaged more points in college than LeBron James and Kobe Bryant combined. So this is a legend we're talking about here.
Yeah, his 2.2 is more than their zero.
The man, LeVar Ball, should be a Hall of Famer. I hope he gets elected, and I'm about to pre-order the Lonzo Ball shoe. Might even get a tattoo on my leg. So that's all I got to say. Lonzo for life. Also, LeVar 2024 president. You heard it here first.
Dude, are you going to get the Big Baller brand tattoo, or are you going to get the ZO2 logo brand? In your take, are you going to get should he get the BBB tattoo, or should he get Lonzo's personal logo that's on the shoes?
I haven't seen Lonzo's personal logo.
Well, so the wide receivers coach at Ohio State said that they stole his logo, apparently, but they really didn't. I mean, it doesn't even look like it. I'm telling you, I'm all in. I'm all in on Lonzo and LeVar. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Also, where the NBA may be saved. We'll get to that on top of your calls about LeVar and Lonzo Ball. By the way, the NBA draft is tonight with our coverage beginning right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game at 6 o'clock. Hey, don't miss the National Predators Foundation Annual Craft Beer Festival presented by Orca Coolers. That's Saturday from 3 to 7 at Bridgestone Arena. General admission is $69 now, but it's $79 the day of the event. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, yes. Go, Lakers. Unless they don't draft Lonzo Ball. Because, really, if you're drafting tonight and you draft Lonzo Ball number two, as much as they say that LeVar will not be a part of the picture, you really are drafting LeVar, right? Like, if you're a GM, you're Magic Johnson, and you're drafting number two overall, ESPN coverage of the NBA draft right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game starting at 6 tomorrow. If you're the GM, and you're drafting Lonzo Ball, how much are you really thinking about LeVar as you make the pick of Lonzo?
Well, I'm sure there would have to be some kind of an understanding.
You stay away?
Yes. That, you know what, this is pro basketball now. We're not, we've got advertisers, we've got sponsors, we've got, and so far none of them have BBB. And so, you know, you're going to have to go ahead and stay to your, you know, stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
If you will, and we'll stay in ours.
Stay in your lane. Yes. By the way, I think I'm going to pick that up into my vocabulary from LeVar. I'm a huge LeVar Ball fan. I want BBB to be successful. That's why I love Lonzo and LeVar so much. I don't really even care for Lonzo. LeVar, that's my guy. I love LeVar.
Well, it's going to be interesting now because, and I have no idea what the NBA has as far as shoe deals and that kind of stuff.
Well, each player has their own deal for shoes.
There's nothing league-wide?
No. Now, the jerseys are. The jerseys are Adidas, I think. So Adidas has the jerseys, but the shoes are each individual player can. And so that's why they turned down, I think it was $2 million a year from Nike in order to do BBB, because LeVar wanted whomever Lonzo signed with to license BBB. You know, like how LeBron has his own logo,
right,
and Jordan, you know, like Jordan brand. They wanted to have BBB be one of those brands, and they were not, the all Under Armour, Adidas, and Nike were not having it. So they decided to go their own. I'm still trying to figure out how he's getting the shoes made, because Nike has their own factory. Adidas has their own factory. You know, Reebok has their own factory. So where are these BBB? I doubt LeVar Ball owns a factory. So where are these shoes getting made? That's kind of my big question. But that being said, I'm rooting for whoever picks Lonzo tonight, and I hope it's the Lakers, because the NBA has an interesting problem, and Lonzo on the Lakers makes them matter. And we need, and just as a society, we need the Lakers to be good. We need the Celtics to be good. We need more than two NBA teams to be good. And if there are only going to be two NBA teams, they better not be Golden State and Cleveland.
And that's where we are right now.
And they have a series. None of their games matter. The offseason is way more interesting than the actual games.
Oh, absolutely.
And of all these guys that get drafted, how many of them will we never hear from again? Like Fox, De'Aaron Fox could get drafted. We could never hear from him again.
Yeah, most you won't.
So that is our take kind of on the NBA and the draft. Ask the GM is coming up at 5 o'clock, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House. Everything will be on the table for the GM. But now we go to your phones about LeVar and Lonzo Ball. Daryl is up next. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, what's up, guys? Floyd, this is your exam from this question. It's for your compadre. I was wondering if you were smoking something today. I love the show. I love you guys. Listen about it every afternoon. But I was wondering if you were smoking something. But you finally said something good about the Celtics. But dude, are you having withdrawals that there's no more Ringling Brothers?
That I want LeVar Ball because I want the circus.
Yeah, you picked up on that circus with his dad, so I thought you might be having withdrawals because there's no Ringling Brothers anymore.
I will say this though. I will say this though. To that point about the circus, and I appreciate your call, Daryl. Like, to that point, I think there, and you're going to hate this, I already know. I think there's a possibility that if you're the Lakers, supposedly the Lakers gave Kobe this absurd contract when he was way too old because they were renegotiating their local rights deal with Time Warner. So they're renegotiating their local rights deal, so they re-sign Kobe so they can go for the local rights and say, hey, we've got Kobe locked up, so when you sign this 10-year deal, Kobe signed for four of them, right? So they'll think, oh, well, Kobe signed, so that's going to get ratings. Well, now the ratings for the Lakers have to be in the tank because the Lakers, and I didn't even watch the Lakers this year, but the Lakers were horrible this year. So their local ratings have to be awful. So Time Warner, or whoever their rights holder is probably knocking on the door saying, hey, let's go. Get better. You're the Lakers. Well, what's going to attract audience? Winning. But that's harder to achieve than bringing LeVar Ball in. So you bring Lonzo and LeVar in. You sit LeVar courtside. He says all of his crazy stuff. And you keep putting microphones in front of his face. And even though your team may not win a whole lot, they'll still have they'll still get some ratings because of LeVar Ball and Lonzo Ball. I think there's something to that.
Could be.
I told you you were going to hate that. If a GM makes a pick for ratings.
Yeah, that would be shocking. But stranger things have happened.
Are you rooting for the Bulls?
I mean, I want the kid to play well.
Do you want BBB to become an empire? Like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, BBB?
I could really care less. I mean, you know what? The guy's a salesman. I understand what he's doing. And
he's a total hustler.
I could never do it, but if he can do it and pull it off, more power to him.
What could you not do? The running a company or the going on TV saying wild stuff to get people to talk about you?
Yeah, being ridiculous out in the public. I would prefer not to do that.
He went on Jimmy Kimmel and was wearing a suit with a BBB tie.
There you go.
Eric is up next on the Balls. Thank you for calling. What's up, Eric?
Man, guys, it's been a while. Y'all keep the lines tied up.
Hey, so, I'm just trying to be popular. What's up?
So I had to get you up to speed on Austin Watson about a month ago. I guess I'm going to have to get you up to speed with this big baller thing. BBB does not stand for Big Baller Brand. It stands for Big Baller Bobo. And that's certainly what you are, Jared. I'm sorry. If people want to get on the bandwagon, there's plenty of room because smart people are staying away. I don't have any issue with Lonzo Ball at all. But you're talking about a $1 billion brand. People don't pay $300 shoes because of $300. They pay for it because it's $300 and it has a name attached to it. Lonzo may be good, but I don't think he'll ever be a Russell Westbrook. And Russell Westbrook couldn't get a $1 billion company off the ground for a shoe. So there's no way Lonzo's going to be able to do that.
I'm just telling you right now, though, if Russell Westbrook played for the Lakers, his shoe deal would be worth more than it is in Oklahoma City.
That's fair. That's fair. And Jim, you were way back when you asked for a word that describes someone who was stupid and smart at the same time. I think you were looking for idiot savant, but LeVar's far more idiot than he is savant.
See, why would you say that? If this company becomes a $1 billion, $2 billion company, if Lonzo's the next great Laker, then LeVar is an absolute genius.
Well, that's a lot of ifs, and those are big ifs. And you're talking about a guy whose claim to fame is capitalizing on his child's success. This day and age, in this society, that's more common sense than it is genius. 30 years ago, that might have been a smart move.
Who else's family is starting a brand, though? You know, nobody else's family is doing that. Eric, I appreciate your call, but nobody else is starting a brand like LeVar Ball did. LeBron didn't do it. He went with Nike out of high school. Kobe didn't do it. He went with, Nike out of high school. So who's starting a brand? Nobody's starting a brand except for LeVar Ball. Now, to the BBB being Big Baller Bobo, that's fair. I'm a total LeVar Ball Bobo. I love LeVar Ball. You know why I love LeVar Ball the most?
Why?
Because everybody thinks LeVar Ball's stupid, and the truth is LeVar Ball is getting hundreds of millions of dollars in free advertising. My mom, who I don't think knows who Kevin Durant is, knows who LeVar Ball is. I was talking one time about LeVar Ball, and my mom goes, "Is that the one with the $495 shoes?" And I'm like, "How do you know that?" She's like, "I saw it on the crawl of the Today Show." That's how my mom knows who LeVar Ball is, knows about the ZO2's Big Baller brand, and he's a genius because he knows the more ridiculous stuff he says, he knows the more on TV he's going to get and the more he's going to be able to advertise BBB. Apparently, I forget the tweet. I think it was Darren Revelle had a tweet that Big Baller Brand was getting more mentions on Twitter than Under Armour.
And Under Armour is gigantic.
Yes. So what's that tell you about Big Baller Brand and LeVar and his marketing? Genius. I would argue that LeVar, it wouldn't shock me if LeVar Ball has not paid a dollar in advertising. And he's got over $100 million in advertising for free. When they put him on and he and Stephen A. argue and, you know, yell at each other, that is free advertising. So I am rooting for the Balls. Go, Lonzo. Go, LeVar.
Are the other kids as good as...
The middle one is not, but the youngest one I think is. The youngest one, LaMelo. No, LiAngelo. No, I don't know what the order. I think LaMelo's the youngest. Scored like 92 points in a game. Okay, it's 5 o'clock on a Thursday, which means it is time for Ask the GM. The lines are open. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Any question you have for the GM, football, basketball, LeVar Ball, hockey, all on the table. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ask the GM is presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House, and the best call will win a pair of tickets to see the music of Led Zeppelin performed by the Nashville Symphony at the Ascend Amphitheater this Saturday. So that best question for the GM will win that great prize. Ask the GM is next. 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025, The Game.